stay tuned for Straight Talk, the show where social justice meets criminal law. Brought to you on WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, by Tucker Griffin Barnes. Now here's your host, Andre Hakes.
Good morning, Charlottesville. You are listening to Straight Talk on WPVC 94.7 FM, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Straight Talk is a series of interviews and conversations about legal and social justice issues affecting our community. I am your host, Andre Hakes. And my guest today is JoJo Robertson. JoJo is a Charlottesville native who is the chapter leader for the Albemarle County chapter of Stand for the Silence, which is sort of an anti-bullying organization. We're going to talk about bullying today.
Yeah, let me correct you with one thing.
Yes, ma'am.
Norfolk.
Not well, but you live here.
I live here, absolutely.
I should say, not originally from here.
Yep, I always have to correct for all my friends that live in Norfolk.
I understand. Yeah. My wife's family is from the Norfolk area.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you can tell how we say it.
I remember going down there once to try a case and having her dad, tell me to make sure not to say Norfolk.
Uh-huh.
That would reveal me as an outsider immediately. So, anyway, Jody, you have a really interesting story.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
And I'd like to start out with just sort of what your background is, and then kind of go in from there into how you got interested in the anti-bullying.
My background. I have a child that was bullied pretty bad in the Albemarle, Charlottesville area.
Mm-hmm.
And this child ended up with broken ribs.
But back up a minute.
Yep.
Your child.
My child.
Son? Daughter?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Your son, just because it's easier to say that.
Mm-hmm.
How old was your son at the time that these things that you're about to talk about happened?
He was almost five.
Okay, so we're talking five. About a child in kindergarten?
No, he was entering. He had missed the cutoff date, yeah.
Okay.
So he was about to go into kindergarten.
So he hadn't even entered school yet?
No.
And so where was this bullying happening?
This occurred at a church.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in like a sort of a preschool setting?
No, it was a setting where it was a setting where in the evening all the kids got together and, they were supposed to have someone watching them.
Mm-hmm.
And this individual that was supposed to be watching them left the kids alone.
Okay. Is this like during a period of time when the grown-ups are all upstairs at a church service?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I got mm-hmm. it. I understand mm-hmm. what you're talking about now. And so your son is about five.
Yes.
And he hasn't even entered school yet.
No.
And he's getting picked on. Why is he getting picked on?
At that point, he had the child that was bullying him actually was twice my son's age. And my son had a little Spider-Man toy. And he told, some mic stuff going on. He told my son he wanted the toy. Mm-hmm. And my son said no. He said, you give me that toy now.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, being just a little kid, I'm not giving you the toy. And after this went on, the child who had a blue belt in karate really messed my child up.
Now, is this something that had been an ongoing relationship between your son and the child you're talking about, and this was the culmination of a period of friction between them? Or is this an isolated incident?
You can say it was an isolated incident, but this child that did it
mm-hmm.
Actually had a whole host of other problems. So it at that moment, it was just my child was going to be the one that he was going to pick on. But yes, the child had a whole host of other problems. And like a week or two before the child had been in his own home with the alcoholic father, and the father had gone into a rampage and beat down doors, and it was just a mess. It was a mess. So this child had a lot of issues that weren't being dealt with. And then it, and that was the way he dealt with what he saw in his own home.
Well, JoJo, when I think about bullying, mm-hmm. I usually think about a course of events over time, not even whatever the individual people involved issues are. I don't mm-hmm. think about it in terms of, you know, this one thing happened this one day. I don't think about that. I tend to think about it in terms of, here is somebody who consistently engages in this type of behavior, either in relation to the individual victim or generally in relation to a number of different people. Do you know if there was a history of that in this case?
Yes. I mean, we had observed behavior, antisocial behavior within this child at the church. Mm-hmm. So it just happened to be my child was what, you know, right there, right in the crossfire of this child who had been through so much, you know, and it was devastating. Andre, it changed my life. When I had tried so hard to have children, didn't think I could. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, God gave me this beautiful boy, you know, and 11 months later, a beautiful girl. Think miracles. And that happened and it devastated me. I still, you know, going to a church is very hard.
Tell me what happened to your son. I mean, what?
He told the child over and over he wasn't going to give him his toy. And then, you know, just a Spider-Man toy. And then the child beat up my son. My son ended up with a ruptured spleen, bowel contusions, and broken ribs. It was that serious.
Where were the other children while this was happening?
Running wild.
They were
running
so
wild.
In other words, there were many other children in the area.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did they see what happened?
Yes, yes.
And who was, don't give me a name, but there was someone who was supposed to be there watching the kids.
Right, exactly.
And they just weren't.
Right. It was a paid personnel that should have been there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, wow, a ruptured spleen, that sounds pretty...
It was terrible.
Horrific.
It was terrible. It's something that...
It sounds like a lot more than a little, you know, schoolyard scuffle.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, I think what, you know, that was physically, you know, devastating to my son. But emotionally, spiritually, it devastated our family. You know, we went through lots of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Why did this happen? You know, you're a good person, you know, and it was really devastating.
I can see a sort of a crisis of faith coming from.
Oh, it was so, yeah.
Something like that.
And we went through bullying from the pastor of the church who told us if we were real Christians, we wouldn't say anything because, or make a big to-do out of it because we would cause other Christians to lose their faith. And that other Christians would lose their faith, their salvation. And that was even more of a burden because, you know, we just felt like this itty bitty family. And so people were coming at us in all different ways. It was terrible. It was terrible.
Okay. Well, I take it you did choose to make an issue of it.
Oh, yeah, we did in our own way. And it's so hard. You know, people can look at people and go, well, you didn't handle this gracefully, or you didn't do this, you know, gracefully. Well, you know what? Your grace is kind of gone when you have a child that has gone through this.
Anytime you have a child who is a victim of any kind of crime, it charges the proceedings, formal or informal, just charges everything about the incident with a different character.
Right. And we had our family had felt like the church was our family. We don't have any family in Charlottesville.
Right.
So we felt like the church was our family. So not only was our child going through this, but some of the church members rose up and mm-hmm. said, you know what? Well, you're causing discord. You're rebellious. Just, you know, instead of saying we're here to help you.
Right.
Let's lift each other up. Let's pray about this. So, yeah, my husband and I felt we had lost everything.
I think what you're talking about is a kind of a something that I've heard sometimes prosecutors refer to as victim blaming.
Oh, yes. And you know what? That happens with parents, too. Your child is bullied and you go to the school and they And in fact, one of the movies that we use, Andre, is called Bully. It's a documentary, and you actually see it played out where parents are going to the school and they're going, look, this is happening to Alex. There's a young man named Alex. And the bullying that happens to Alex in the documentary is terrible. They had to turn the cameras off in one part of the documentary. And, you know, what happened is Alex's parents went to the school and it was all turned around. But your child this and your child that, you know, it's almost like your child loses their identity too.
There's a danger in reporting it because you may become the target of
absolutely
those in power.
Yeah.
If you do.
You got it right.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Now, you said there's a movie that we use. Let's talk about we. Who's we?
Well, after that occurred to my son, I happened to be watching Anderson Cooper. And Anderson Cooper was talking about bullying. And he had Kirk Smalley on. And Kirk Smalley had his son, Ty Smalley, who was being bullied. And Ty took his own life.
How old was Ty?
Ty was 10 years old.
Wow. That seems, and, you know, this is your area of expertise, not mine, but that seems really young for me. When I hear about sort of bullying, suicide kind of things, I usually think about teenagers.
Yeah, no, it's happening. You know, we go back to this is my own thought process. Children learn what they live, and they live what they learn. So it goes back to what, you know, if you have other kids that are, you're sending into a school system that maybe in your home, you're teaching your child, you do not hit, you do not yell, you do not whatever, yada, yada. This is your family. Someone else's family, maybe they're learning to lash out. You know, they're learning to use their mouth and say terrible things, or even a child's self-esteem is so low, that's what they do to other kids.
Right. So you're really talking about two different things here. One would be if a child is raised in a home in which violence is pervasive or more acceptable than in another home, then that child is more likely to exhibit violent behaviors.
Right.
And you're also saying sometimes a child who has very, very low self-esteem may use violence, or maybe even not physical violence, but verbal abuse, to try to rectify that problem as sort of a way of dealing with that.
Yes, and Stand for the Silent. Kirk was on Anderson Cooper, and if please go to Netflix, watch the documentary Bully, see what's happening in schools, see how it's handled, because after watching that documentary and seeing kids go through unbelievable things and knowing that I needed a support system, I reached out to Kirk. I've never met him personally, just on the phone, and I started a chapter here in our area.
All right, so let me just clarify this, JoJo. So your mama and your little boy gets beat up at church, and you see a national television documentary, Anderson Cooper, right? And there's somebody on there who's talking about bullying.
I love Anderson. He's so cool.
And you decide to contact this person who is on Anderson Cooper, and you end up running your own anti-bullying organization in Charlottesville.
That's it.
That's, you know, I mean, that's some chutzpah you got there.
Thank you. I love that chutzpah. In fact, I just decided that, you know, when I looked different avenues to get help in this area, I didn't have it. I was so helpless. And I said, you know, I need to do something, you know, and I do it for the whole community. But, you know, every time I see a child changed, or I teach a child how to be an upstander, or like power differential, it's just like it helps me know that, you know, there's a Jewish type of custom where if a lot of bad things happen, you do a lot of good to offset it. And at that time, my children were going to the Charlottesville Community Jewish Day School after all this occurred. And I learned that, and I said, you know what? I will do as much good as I can to offset the bad. And that's the way I coped.
Now, just to be perfectly clear, the Charlottesville community, Jewish community day school is not where this happened.
No.
Okay, I know that's not what you're saying, but I just wanted to make it very clear for anybody who's listening. That's where you went afterwards.
I went, I knew that I wanted my kids close to me, and also I wanted, you know, in my family, I want my kids to be accepting and know and have their own choice in what they believe. And we do have a Jewish history in our family, and I wanted them to embrace that.
So you go out after this horrible experience, and instead of doing something horrible in response...
I'm serious. It was a battle.
You chose to do something constructive.
Absolutely, positive.
You made this chapter in Albemarle for this organization, and you basically became an anti-bullying advocate.
Absolutely.
So talk to me a little bit. I want to sort of move away from the personal now into sort of more general information about bullying and things you've learned in that. But before I do that, I should probably say, because my producer likes me to do this periodically, that you are listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Straight Talk. And my guest today is JoJo Robertson, who is the chapter leader for Albemarle Stand for the Silent, which is an anti-bullying organization. So, JoJo, talk to me about different types of bullying. I mean, there's the kind of in-person bullying that, you know, where your child got broken ribs or a ruptured spleen.
Yes.
Or both. And then there's something called cyberbullying.
Yes.
Cyberbullying is newer and more of a product of our current technological age. Talk a little bit about what that is.
Cyberbullying, I don't even know where to begin. There's so much to talk about. So kids, of course, especially teens, you see them with their faces in their phone. So we've moved to a type of people where, you know, kids played outside at night, ran around with no shoes on, whatever. Technology has evolved. So cyberbullying is when a child or a teen takes the computer or electronic device and bullies a child online.
In other words, it's not happening on the playground. It's happening out in the internet.
Absolutely.
But it's the same kind of thing.
It's the same kind of thing. In fact, it can be more devastating because there's so many sites out there that allow teens to, you can send a message and be anonymous.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, because you can't rupture somebody's spleen over the internet. So how can it be more damaging?
It's more damaging because if you think about it, we are holistic creatures. So we have our emotional self, physical, spiritual, intellectual, God, I believe God made us into holistic beings. Okay. So what happens is just as much as someone can be hurt physically, they can be hurt emotionally, spiritually. And this is what happens with cyberbullying.
Mm-hmm.
And what's even worse is with technology, if I was to say something to you, you know, it gives the cyber bully the ability to share it with all, you know, the whole school.
Right. Instead of you saying something mean to just me.
Absolutely.
And maybe there's a couple people standing around.
Right.
You
mm-hmm.
said something mean to me and there's
hundreds
300 people we know who see it.
Yeah. And it's devastating. It's devastating because when you're kids or teens up until the age of about 21, maybe, are egotistical. It's just
I think a few of us are egotistical after age 21.
Yeah. You know, and so it is, you know, it's part of their chemical makeup. So it you know, all they're thinking about is, you know, 500 people or, I don't know, like, think Charlottesville High. I don't know how many kids. Out of all those kids, you know, all these other teens or whatever have seen it and read it.
When you say egotistical, I think maybe what you're describing is the fact that adolescents are, you know, what someone else thinks of you is much more important to someone at a vulnerable age than it might be in adulthood. Not that we can't be hurt by what people think of us as adults, but that when you're in that formative stage, it's
well, think more about
crucial.
This, Andre. When you were a teen, or when I was a teen, you know how all of us get a zit.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really good. And
I never had any zits,
yeah,
JoJo.
Uh-huh. And you have one little pimple, but when you go to school, you feel like that. Everyone's looking at that pimple.
Right.
That's what I mean by egotistical. It's all about them.
Right.
Not in a bad way.
Right.
Yeah, it's
not in a way that they don't have empathy for others
or that
they think so much of themselves.
No.
But in the sense that they just are so focused on their self-image.
Absolutely. That's the age that self-image and finding out, you know, we're sending kids off to college, find out what you want to be, who you are. That's what I meant.
Yeah. I understand. Talk to me a little bit about, I mean, you're basically describing that there's a magnification effect.
Absolutely.
Of cyberbullying.
Yep.
Due to the cyber part of it.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about where this is happening on the internet. I mean, what kind of sites is this? I mean, you know, we're all familiar with Facebook, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so that's a place where something like this can happen. But I think there are a lot more sites that parents may not be aware of.
Yes, absolutely. There's sites, and it's so funny because I hear from teens that I work with that Facebook's only for old people now. So I think, you know, I think that's really funny. It, you know, it came out and it's for old people now. But there's many sites and that can be used. And what happens again is when you talk about that shaming that occurs, is if someone is on a site and they do something inappropriate and then they feel caught in a box,
mm-hmm,
and they don't feel like they can go to their parents and say, Mom, I was on Tinder. I was sexting,
mm-hmm,
which happens all the time.
Right.
You know, and kids are impulsive. And a guy may ask a girl, hey, you know, lift your shirt.
Right.
Real quick. And I'm seeing a lot of that on, you know, kids saying that they see it. So there's sites in which that occurs. And then the girl most likely will, because that's where it's happening, will all of a sudden, you know, go back to school and there's this sense of regret.
Right.
And that picture is shared. And it's happened too many times.
We'll talk about what, can you educate us a little bit about the different sites,
sure,
the different internet sites that kids are on these days and what kind of things, what each site is and what kind of problems,
yes,
you might be seeing there. Not that there are not legitimate uses of many,
right,
of the sites.
There's a site called Tinder, and it's a mobile dating app that connects used based on physical location. So it can actually know your zip code.
So Tinder is a site that, mm-hmm, is designed to sort of set people up with each other.
Set people up, strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And Teen Safe, capital T-E-E-N, capital F. S-A-F-E.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it through Stanford the Silent Official.
Mm-hmm.
That is a site that's been blocked because kids should not, or teens should not, have an app where they're going to leave their house and go meet a stranger.
Of course not, because we have pedophilia concerns about that. Somebody poses,
absolutely,
as something they're not, and
absolutely.
Right. Among the many reasons why they shouldn't be doing that.
Absolutely.
But so talk about Tinder. Tinder has this function where it knows what your zip code is.
Absolutely.
Right? Because you're using a mobile device,
uh-huh,
and so it or is that something you input?
Excuse
Does it
me?
Just know? Does it just read that setting when you load Tinder?
Okay. It asks for you, to allow to know where you're at.
All right. So it knows where you're at. And what does it do?
So let's say we're here in the studio and I bring up Tinder and it says, hey, somebody's profile might come up.
Mm-hmm.
Fake profiles are so easy to make. But kids or teens, they don't realize that.
Right.
So what occurs is they hook up, mm-hmm, meet up with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's very, I did recently, I composed a change.org after petition to one of the messaging apps, which is like Tinder. Kick was used with Nicole Lovell. She used that. But a 10-year-old was leaving his house. A 10-year-old boy was on the site leaving his house. And his mom just happened to say, "Where are you going?" He's like, "I'm going to go meet this friend." The mom, just by chance, "What friend?"
Right.
Anyway, this is documented. She saw the profile. Mm-hmm. She told the police. Mm-hmm. And it was a
pedophile.
Yeah, I call him predator. Mm-hmm. It was a predator. Had she not taken that phone when that child was leaving the house, he probably never would have came back.
Okay, but I want to come back to the question of what different kinds of apps are. Once you just sort of go through several of them,
right.
I think we understand sort of what Tinder is. Although my understanding of Tinder is that you get pictures, basically profile pictures of people, and you get to go, "Yeah, I think that person's sexy," or "No, I don't." And
then, you know,
you get to see who thinks you're sexy, and then these two people can hook up, and
there you go.
On we go.
Yeah. There's also called Blender.
What's Blender?
It's like Tinder. It's a mobile dating app that's designed to connect people within close proximity.
Mm-hmm.
So there again, it's just another dating app.
Okay.
Then there's called Down. It's an app meant for adults who are looking for casual relationships or a more serious one. It also made Teen Safe's blacklist because it encourages teens to think of other in terms of their physical attributes, which can lead to low self-esteem, depression, and vulnerable teens with body image issues.
All right, so we got Tinder, Blender, and Down. What else do we have?
Omegle.
What's Omegle?
Omegle is a video chatting app that connects users with strangers. It can expose kids or teens to predators, nudity, and other inappropriate material.
Mm-hmm.
Yik Yak, which is one that drives me, I see a lot of kids that go on Yik Yak. Oh, it's so great. No, Yik Yak is a social media app that lets users post anonymous messages that can be seen by anyone within a set radius.
So now, Yik Yak is different from these other sites in that it's not a dating app.
Right.
And it's not a, you don't get a bunch of profile pictures to look through and go, "Yeah, that one's hot," or "That one isn't."
No, but it can be done anonymously, and there's no way to stop it.
Right, and what you're talking about is it's sort of like it's almost like you have a chat room on the internet. It's like that, right? And
yes. You
can have a Yik Yak chat room for different communities.
Yep.
So you might have one at UVA.
Yeah.
And you might be able to post it, you know, something that all the UVA subscribers to Yik Yak could see. And so you might be able to say something mean about someone,
mm-hmm.
right? And instead of, again, those two or three people maybe being around in the schoolyard, boom, there's 1,000 people.
Right, and it's problematic because bullying can be done anonymously. There mm-hmm. it is again.
Mm-hmm. So you don't even know who said something
you
bad
don't
about
even
you
know. It's,
on
it's
Yik Yak.
Just, yeah, exactly. You don't even know who said it, who did it, when it was done, but it's happening.
Okay. Do you have any others we should know about?
Ask FM. It's a question and answer style social network, and users will receive negative messages without knowing who the message came from.
Okay, what does that mean? Tell me about that. I don't know about that one.
It's an app that's dangerous. It's already been linked to about 10 cases of suicide in the U.S. and in the United Kingdom. And again, it's you can ask a question about someone and I'll say, "Hey, tell me about Andre Hakes."
Okay.
And then anybody can say, "Oh, Andre, you know, I saw her such and such doing such and such," and it's put right on there. No one knows who answered it, why they answered it.
Sort of a slander machine.
Oh, yes. Yes. It's terrible. It's terrible. There's also Whisper. And Whisper is a smartphone app that allows users to share secrets anonymously. There's Snapchat, which, again, is a social media app where users can send pictures that will disappear in a few seconds.
Now, that's an interesting one.
It is very.
It's my understanding that those pictures are designed so that, you know, you take the picture with your cell phone
mm-hmm.
And you send it to a couple of buddies.
Right.
And, you know, the idea is they view it and within a few seconds it goes away and disappears.
Mm-hmm.
But you can take a screenshot.
You can take a screenshot, absolutely. Or even, you know, worse is that, you know, somebody, you know, there's a teen that thinks, you know, that's being egged on to do something that she may not, or he may not usually do, you know, and they're, come on, which is kind of that peer pressure.
Right.
So you got it right.
So they do it, and then a picture gets taken of it.
Yeah.
They send it to people, and then somebody may take a screenshot of it, which would then preserve it.
Yeah.
And then that person could send that screenshot that's permanent out to other people.
You got it. And the thing is, you know, Snapchat chat, which seems so innocent, you know, a lot of people are on it.
Well, and the person who takes the picture may not have any intention that that picture be preserved.
Right.
So people take pictures of themselves on Snapchat thinking this will disappear, and they don't have the concept. Even if somebody else takes the picture, they may not intend that it be preserved, but somebody else may preserve it.
Right, absolutely. And again, you're dealing with teens that, you know, when I talked about being egotistical, you know, they don't think about this. You know, they're thinking about that moment, you know, where everything is just fun. And then the last one is Kik. Kik is a free instant messenger app for smartphones. And again, as we saw with Nicole Lovell, online predators can have used Kik to search a particular age range, to find victims in their area.
Is Kik like Tinder?
Yes, it's kind of like Tinder. Tinder, yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
In that you get to see profiles of other people who are near you physically.
Yes, yes.
Wow, okay. It's
like, with all this and schoolwork, do you understand why kids are just, I mean, they're overloaded. They're just overloaded.
We need to take a break. At this point in time. So we're going to take a brief recess, and we'll be right back. And we are back on the air with Straight Talk. My guest today is JoJo Robertson, who is the chapter leader for Albemarle Stand for the Silent, which is an anti-bullying organization. JoJo, you were just telling me about different kinds of apps that are problematic. This made me think of something. As an attorney, I will often see cases where a child has engaged with one of those apps. Maybe they've done, like you said, they got egged on, or they did something that wasn't something they would normally do, or maybe it's not something they would normally do the first time, but then over time it becomes something they do all the time. Kids will take pictures of themselves, naked pictures of themselves, and then send these pictures to each other.
Right.
And it's become sort of a social thing. Kids who know each other are doing this, and then sometimes they end up doing it with people who they don't know, who might turn out to be child predators. But one of the problems is that a juvenile taking a picture, even of his or her own naked body, has committed a crime. Just taking the picture. Taking the picture, the offense is creation of child pornography. So if you've got a, you know, 15-year-old who is on one of these apps, and they're, maybe it's even just Snapchat, I see
right.
that, and they, or Instagram is another one like Snapchat. They take a picture like that. They've just created kiddie porn.
Right.
Which is a felony.
Right.
And then if they send that to someone, which is why most of the time these pictures are taken, because they're going to send it to whatever person they're dating or even just talking to more casually, they've distributed child pornography.
Right.
So one of the things that I have seen is sometimes a parent who's being a good parent, right, and sees, you know, is looking at their kid's phone and sees this, will then try to report it. So they might report it, for example, they might call up the school principal and say, hey, this thing is happening. Well, that might end up with their own kid being prosecuted for a crime, because the school's a mandatory reporter.
Right.
And so I guess what I'm saying is, you know, parents just need to be aware. They need to be talking to their kids. Don't do this. And it's not only the child predator thing, you know, because kids will think, well, it's safe. I'm sending it to my buddy Susie,
right?
Or my buddy Bobby, or my, you know. It's that the thing in of itself is an offense. And it seems counterintuitive, right? We should, you know, we're in a society that thinks you shouldn't be ashamed of your body, right? And we're in a, you know, we're especially with teens, we're teaching them, you know, everybody's body, you have a beautiful body. Don't, you know, don't worry that you're too fat. Don't worry that we're trying to combat that sort of negative self-image. But taking a picture of your own body when you're under 18 is criminal.
Yeah, and again, we're talking about, as I said before, we're putting kids in a box. You're blank if you do, and you're blank if you're not. You know, I mean, we're putting them in a box. And that girl who feels so bad, or, you know, boy or whatever, they, you know, they feel so bad about it, but you can't take it back. And one of the things that one of my friends that has a chapter in Illinois, we decided this years ago, know your child's passwords. You've got to know them, and you've got to demand them, and you've got to be a parent.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, I can hear some parents cringing now and going, oh, but what about my child's sense of privacy? They're not going to, you know, I need them to feel like they can live their own lives.
Oh, what about your child going out and being found in a ditch? Oh, what about your child going to school and, you know, something being shared? You know, I'm sorry, you are the parent. As parents, if you start early with your child, and I know 9-year-olds that are on Snapchat, I see people that they have a baby and the kid's like 2 years old and they have a Facebook form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are just as responsible. You know, it's not like in the olden days when our parents were tired of us and they turned on Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse and said, watch TV. I mean, that was how some parents, you know, when you needed a break, here, go watch cartoons. It's not that. This is serious stuff. There are people out there that are predators. There are so many cases where kids are taking their lives. It's not worth your kid coming in your face and going, well, I want to, you're not going to see. Forget it. You are the parent. Also, I need to tell parents, if you think that you have all of your child's passwords, look for the calculator key. It gets even more calculating, Andre. They're hiding apps behind that key. And if you go to Stanford,
look for the calculator key. Tell me what you mean.
Do you know when you have a phone, you mm-hmm. have your smartphone, it'll mm-hmm. have the calculator key?
No.
Right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Adding, like, 1 + 2 + okay.
You mean like there's an app on your phone
there's
that does
app.
That?
Yes. Absolutely.
I have an app like
okay,
that on my phone.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
See, that's how illiterate, socially illiterate. No, I stay away from all of it. But
all right.
You have the calculator app.
Right.
Kids are now hiding these sites behind that app.
What do you mean? How does that work? How would you figure that out?
You need to take the phone.
All right. Pulling my phone out.
Okay.
All right. We're gonna open it up. I'm not going to show you my password, though.
Yeah, don't do that.
All right,
don't
I've got a calculator app. Here's my calculator app.
All right, so go out of your app.
All right.
Let me see it on
going
your phone.
Going out of my app. There it is.
Can you move your apps around?
I probably could if I was smarter than I am.
Okay.
But I'm old.
We're old.
And so,
and we're, yeah.
Let's say that I could. How would I go about doing it?
All right, so what individuals do is they take the calculator app.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And
I know that there's a place I can go into settings and move stuff like
right.
that around.
Mm-hmm. But kids are now hiding the sites that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to hide them behind the calculator
In other words,
app.
When I clicked on the calculator app, I wouldn't get the calculator.
Yes, ma'am.
I've already added myself as pretty pedestrian here
with
my last calculation, which was 30,815. 30,815
right.
what? I don't remember. But,
right.
But if I had done this and I clicked on that calculator app, what I would get is something else.
You would get
a list
something
of passwords,
else.
For example.
Yeah, or you know, if you've told your child, stay away from Kik, stay away from this, and they're like, I'm doing it. And then that's a way that they're hiding it now. It's like we have these moguls that just want to suck the very life of our kids out. You know what I'm saying?
I had no idea that kids were doing that. That's really neat,
it's
Jojo,
sickening.
That you know that.
I mean, it's devastating. You know,
Well, we're talking about, you know, how to keep our kids safe online.
Right, exactly.
And one of the things I wanted to mention that I've seen is chat functions in internet games or even Xbox and gaming
yes,
systems like that. You
absolutely.
Know, you'll have your kid playing some perfectly appropriate game online, but if they're playing in the sort of online mode where they can interact with other people, those other people might be saying terrible things.
Yes, and you're hitting it all today. So if you're playing on Xbox or PlayStation, you're talking on a on a, it's called STEAM, S-T-E-A-M.
Okay, what's STEAM?
STEAM is the way, it's a type of function where you talk back and forth.
Are we talking about typing chat, or are we talking about voice over internet?
The STEAM is typing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I have seen a child viciously bullied, a young man viciously bullied that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you know, you don't know who you are, kid. You don't know who you're talking to.
Well, you have to... you can set, you can change the settings on some of these games when your child is young enough.
It's called, and unfortunately, it's called mommy mode. You know, who, what kind of 16-year-old wants to hear mommy mode? You know, but again, it's, we have to be the parents.
If you get a gaming system, like an Xbox type mm-hmm. gaming system, when you first set it up as a parent, you can set the settings, and
yes.
you can prevent all chat.
Yep.
You can prevent voice over internet, which can really be awful as well.
Right.
And you can make there be a code that has to be typed in to change the settings.
Right.
And if you set things up so that there can't be any chat and there can't be any voice, then your Plants vs. Zombie game is going to be Plants vs. Zombies.
Exactly.
Right? Now,
yeah.
there are things your kid is not going to like about this that are legitimate, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can't team up with the other players on their team and go, well, we're going to go over here, and here's our strategy. And
I've heard it over
but
and
it,
over, yes.
It makes sure that nothing like that is going to happen. If there is no communication. Now, there are some games, especially for littler kids, mm-hmm. that have scripted communication.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And those are different. Those are like where you get, you know, you're playing, the penguin game. There
mm-hmm.
was like a penguin thing that I've seen before where you get a drop-down menu of things you can say, like, hi, or,
right, exactly.
Hey, let's play this,
mm-hmm.
or, right, you know, but
right.
because it's scripted, there's nothing inappropriate in it, and
right.
so that's a little different.
It is, very much so.
But I've, that happens both with gaming systems. I don't mean to be picking on Xbox, but Xbox is the one I have in my house,
right.
so that's why I'm talking
uh-huh.
about it. But any gaming system like that, you should have some control over. It also happens on PCs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as a parent, you should know that there are differences sometimes in terms of friends, who your child's friends are on these games. Just
right.
like Facebook, you can have friends on some of these games. And a good potential rule, and maybe it's adequate and maybe it isn't, but a good potential rule would be if that your child not be permitted to friend anyone that they don't know. If you're going to permit friends,
yes.
Then you require that you know who those people are. And periodically, when your kid's playing the game, you can say, who's that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know?
Yeah. And you know what? It's all in parents being proactive. You know, with the exception or one or two parents that I've talked to, you know, if I say, what is your child doing online? They don't know. They can't say.
Right.
And that there, you know, there it is. We can't trust our kids to have the wisdom that we have at this age, you know, and especially a lot of parents aren't even aware, you know, of all the apps that I talked about earlier. They're not aware of it. They
don't know.
Some
of those apps I only know about because I do criminal defense. And
right.
so I hear about them in cases. And I go, what's that?
Exactly.
All right. So this is one of those moments when it's time for me to say, you're listening to 94.7 WPBC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Straight Talk. And my guest today is JoJo Robertson, who is the chapter leader for Albemarle Stand for the Silent, which is an anti-bullying organization. It seems like we've sort of, you know, left bullying a little bit and gone into cybercrime.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they're related. In fact, many times they're related. One of the cases that has come up lately that I know you're somewhat familiar with is the Lovell case.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty recent. Can you just briefly, in case people don't recognize that particular name, talk about what happened in that case and how it's relevant to what you do?
Well, Nicole, and I do not know the family. I do not, you know, I know just as much as anyone else knows at this point. But she was a young girl, and her mom and dad were divorced, and her dad wasn't in the picture much. And this is all stuff that's come out. And she was bullied, which is just devastating. She was her parents have said she was overweight and she had a scar from being very sick as a young child. So she looked to social networking as to find a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, she found an evil friend, and him and his girlfriend decided that they were going to mock other cases and had a plan for her.
They were going to mock other cases?
What does that mean? Imitate.
Okay.
Yeah, other cases that they have seen.
It was like a copycat crime kind of thing.
There you go, Miss Lawyer.
Okay.
Copycat crime.
And the app that we're talking about in the Lovell case is what?
That was the Kik.
Okay. Now, Kik, again, is one that allows you to search by age, isn't it?
And area.
And gender, yes?
Yes, and area. So they
were
all
from geographic area.
Yes.
We've got age and gender. You could type something in. Find me all the 13-year-old girls within, you know, a mile.
And think about this. This is the part that really upsets me. That child was bullied so bad that she didn't have a friend at her school that she could reach out to or talk to. She looked to social media.
And what happened? I mean, I know what case you're talking about, but everybody may not recognize it by the name.
She ended up leaving her house at night, which is happening even in Charlottesville. I need to tell parents, leaving her house at night, and they murdered her. It was terrible. It just breaks my heart.
So the connection between Nicole Lovell and her alleged murderers, I say as a defense attorney.
I know.
Because I have to. was this Kik messenger.
Yes.
That's how they came to know each other.
And this is what's happening. You know, if this child, you know, we have two components. She was bullied so bad that she looked out, you know, to find friendship.
Well, and there was a case at Mary Washington where a young woman was murdered that also had some social media involvement. Can you talk a little bit about that? There was a girl at Mary Washington who was part of a feminist organization.
Oh, that's right. Yes. And she was personally threatened on Yik Yak. You're right.
So talk about what happened there. How do you know about it?
Well, it's another case of where someone is threatened and, you know, they're threatened physically and emotionally. And, you know, there's this fear of who it is, what she's going to do. Is she walking home alone at night? I'm working with a young girl right now that lives in the city that has in Charlottesville that has been called the N-word over and over. This person is, you know, borderline stalking. And she said, you know, JoJo, I never know what's going to happen when I turn around. And the laws in Charlottesville, I know you're the defense attorney, but we've got to get stronger laws and strong. If somebody wants to, you know, follow up. I mean, this young girl she goes to Piedmont. She's scared to go to school because of this person who's harassing her.
Right.
That shouldn't happen, you know. So, again, you know, everyone thinks Charlottesville's the best place to live and, you know, the number one city in the world. Yes, it is. And let's keep it that way. Let's keep it that way and let's do what we have to do to keep our kids safe.
So we've got a few minutes left in the show. And before we kind of move out of here, I want to talk to you a little bit about some good things.
Okay.
You know, there are some efforts that are being made to solve some of these bullying issues. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about the concept of upstanders. What's an upstander, JoJo?
Okay, what part of it, you know, we feel like if we hit kids early, that, you know, we can teach them how to change the power differential. So if there's a group of kids and you have a bully, you know, everyone hates the actions of the bully. And the bully is saying something or doing something just totally inappropriate.
Right.
and there's a crowd around them.
Mm-hmm.
I need one upstander to go behind the person that's being bullied,
mm-hmm.
and to encourage other kids. So it's almost like a pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this bully has all this power,
mm-hmm.
and it's taking people off of this one weight,
mm-hmm.
because the child being bullied is unevenly yoked,
mm-hmm.
and it's throwing all these kids into behind this child that's being bullied. So we teach kids how to be upstanders.
And what does a kid do to be an upstander? How do you teach them to recognize that it's a bullying situation, and what do you tell them to do to disempower that bully?
There's different things that we tell them to do, but we ask for them to go stand behind the child that's being bullied.
Like physically go stand behind?
Physically. You have to show that you're supporting this other child and then encourage other children to do it. And I'm telling you, it is amazing.
So what do? You walk over behind this person who's being picked on.
That's right.
And you say to the other people around, hey, you guys.
Yeah, this is not okay. If you think this is okay, I mean, not okay, please come join us because we need to support so-and-so.
Right.
Yeah, and it's amazing how the power of the bully is taken away. So if you want, you can go to Stand for the Silent Albemarle. We do a lot of education there, but we're also all over the community. Wherever we're needed, we go.
And are kids doing this? How are you teaching them to do this?
Oh, absolutely. Well, for example, recently I went into a school and did a presentation with toothpaste. And
tell me about the toothpaste. I saw that in my notes. Toothpaste for bullying metaphor. I have to ask about the toothpaste.
Okay,
metaphor.
So if you figure a person, we have all of our feelings inside. So I took a tube of toothpaste and I said, okay. I said, you're going to be a bully. What are you going to do? So a child came up and said something really mean, like, you're just so ugly. Go die. And I said, okay, mm-hmm. squeeze a little toothpaste out. Mm-hmm. So we went down the whole line of mm-hmm. the kids in the class and they all squeezed the toothpaste out. And I said, okay, so if this was you and this happened to you, what's wrong with the toothpaste? And they'll go, oh, it's flat, you know, and how do we get the toothpaste back in it? Of course, you always
have... Well, that would be difficult.
You would have one kid that goes, I can do it. I can put the toothpaste
right.
back. You know, like, I don't know what he's going to do or she's going to... Okay, but what happens is they can't get the toothpaste back in there.
Right.
So it gives that analogy of what happens to someone. Also,
this sort of idea being you're illustrating to them that you can do damage to people in little increments that can be catastrophic. Not a little toothpaste squeezed out, not a little emotional juice, if you will.
Repaired.
And you can't fix it.
And I've also done with young kids, it's simple as taking a piece of paper, something you can do at home. Okay, I'm going to call you stupid. And then, and words matter again. Remember when I talked about being holistic creatures?
Mm-hmm.
So stupid, and you do the paper once. Ugly, do it again. Dumb, do it again. Maybe a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
The M word, do it again. And then you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and then you try to straighten out the paper.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I've straightened out the paper, but what's wrong?
Yeah, it doesn't look like it looked before. It's all wrinkly and greased up. And
you can try to flatten this paper out as best you can. Not going to happen.
So these are ways to illustrate to children that there is some permanent harm.
Absolutely.
From words.
And we also teach kids how to be upstanders, and we illustrate it.
How do you teach a kid how to be an upstander? What do you tell them?
Kids in the first five years is the blueprint for life. So if you want them to be upstander, they need to see you being an upstander.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to watch your actions. Mm-hmm. But again, it's the way you do it. If you have two people on a line, one being number one, one at number 10, and, you know, number 10 is where the bully is, and the bully's screaming at the child being bullied.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is one bully, and you have four kids, all right? And then these four kids come and support the one being bullied.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking the power away.
You're changing the balance.
Away. You are changing. Yep. There you go.
Changing the balance of power.
It's as simple as that, you know? And who really wants their kids to be a bully, you know? Who wants their kid to go out in society and be that way? I don't know. You know, I don't want to fathom that my kids would be doing that. And that's kind of the way I've taught my kids, you know?
Well, maybe the thing to do is to teach your kids how proud of them you are when they do something like that.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
Because every now and then something like that is going to happen just in the normal course of interactions, right? When your kid comes home from school and tells you that so-and-so was being mean to this kid today, mm-hmm. and everybody was ganging up on. And,
right.
And then you say, well, what did you do?
Yeah, and
you know,
you know, something that, you know, we're, by the time a child is age five, they will have witnessed over 150,000 violent acts on television. Extreme violent. And what occurs is a syndrome called the mean world syndrome. Mm. Kids are going off to school thinking the world is a really tough, mean place.
You know, the world is a really tough, mean place, JoJo.
It is a really tough, mean place, but you know what? We need upstanders to stand up and do what's right despite how they feel. Do what's right despite how you feel.
Well, and doing what's right will change how you feel.
Ooh. You have a license in counseling, too.
No, they say we're counselors of law, but I'm afraid my asphalt shingle is pretty bad. Well, JoJo, we're just about out of time.
I want to say one more thing, you know, about my own kids. I'm so proud of them. They haven't been perfect. But I will tell you this. When my child ended up, one of my children ended up leaving the elementary school, and they had awards at the end, I'm about to cry. He won the citizenship award.
Give me five, JoJo. Yeah.
I know I can send my kids out.
It is a special kind of pride, isn't it? When your kid does something, stands up for somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a special thing. And, you know, to have a kid that is
it's better than straight A's, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I would much rather have my child be the one who stands up and stops somebody from getting hurt than have him make straight A's.
Right. Not,
that doesn't mean you don't have to study, Mason. But,
yeah.
And he has given me several opportunities to be proud of him on that point. And
aww.
One of my favorite things about being his parent.
One other thing real quick. When your child comes home from school, or you come home, put every bit of social media away and talk with them eye on eye for 15 minutes. If you cannot give your child 15 total minutes eye to eye, no telephone, no microwave, no oven, no refrigerator, nothing. If you cannot do that, then please think about having children, because our kids need us.
I think that's maybe part of why family dinner can be so important, because if you're sitting at the table with each other, that gives you that structure for that kind of conversation.
Yeah, but then again, we have this, you know, kids going to soccer practice. So
I know.
Karate, whatever.
Or moms who are lawyers and work too late. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to give them that time. It's so vital.